Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Demon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Download the Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game, for all of our top interviews, best moments, powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. We're so happy to say hello to Alex Mack, who is presented by Harris Ranch Beef, legendary quality. Alex Mack, a six-time Pro Bowler, a member of the 2010 All-Decade Team, signed this year to bring an awful lot of stability to the center of the San Francisco 49ers offensive line. And we're very happy to have our first conversation with someone whose reputation is just absolutely stellar. Alex, my name's Damon. You're going to hear from Ray. Matt's going to say hello in just a little bit. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing really well.
Everyone at the Greenbrier, nice turndown service, mints on the pillow, ready to go?
It's a very classy establishment. A little bit of the Shining vibes with the decor, but it actually is a really classy place.
Very nice. It's wonderful to have you on, man. It's really good to see you back, you know, in the Bay. Obviously, your college career, it was at Cal, and to be a 49er, was this something you ever thought about when you were in college? Did you get to, oh, I'm guessing, what, Candlestick back in the day when you were at Cal?
I got to play there, at Cal I didn't get to play at Candlestick, but I got to play at Candlestick a couple times over my career, and it's a cool place. I mean, it's gone now, but the fans are cool. I know the 49ers have a real strong fan base, so it's been exciting to join the team and really see them in action in the preseason.
Let's start with the congratulations on the season opening win in Detroit. I'm guessing you and Jimmy pregame planned the fumble on the first snap of the year just to keep the Lions off guard. I'm guessing that was part of the game plan.
Not how you'd want to start the season. That's not a good tone setter for the offense, but I think we made up for it later in the game.
Certainly.
Definitely don't want to turn over the ball ever. So for it to be the first thing we do is not stellar. So we're working to make sure that never happens again.
What was your biggest takeaway from the debut in Detroit? What do you think the team, you know, what message did the team send back to you about what this season might be?
You know, the takeaways we had were, you know, if we're rolling, if we're on our details, we can do some pretty amazing stuff. Like we scored a lot of points. When we were on our details, things were going really well. And you just have to stay on your details. This league's too good to ever relax. I think we made it far too interesting in that game towards the end, and we just need to keep the gas pedal on. Never relax. Make sure you're on your details, and anybody in this league can come back. So it's just one of those things. It was a good wake-up call without having a really good burn for it.
You've been doing this for a long enough time that I'm going to guess – when that snap happened, and I don't want to dwell on that because it's not really important, but when a snap gets fumbled, does the center know right away who's to blame? And I'm not asking you to identify blame in this one. I'm just saying, as a general rule, can you tell, even though you're not seeing it, what happened?
Generally, it's hard to tell. You know, you're focused on so much stuff, and it's one of those kind of natural things. If I screw up a snap, like flat out screw it up, yeah, I know I do that. But when it's just something kind of went iffy, it's kind of hard to pinpoint what went wrong. It's just one of those things where I think a lot of adrenaline going quick, trying to explode off the ball, and Jimmy trying to, you know, get the ball to the running back. I think we were just a little bit off, and that's all it takes. It's one of those little details that you really have to be tuned into everything, and, you know, don't do it again. You never expect it to happen. You know, so I felt something hit my feet on that play. I was like, I wonder what that is, and it was the ball, which is not good. Not where the ball should be.
You've obviously played with a handful of different quarterbacks over the course of your career, and I guess not to keep referring to that play, but one thing that I immediately thought about was how different is what you need to do as a center with the snap when it comes to different like quarterback to quarterback? Do guys want the ball somehow differently, or is it pretty much you're doing the same action no matter who is behind you?
I'd say I'm doing the same action no matter who's behind. It's a matter of figuring out and making them aware of where I place the ball and kind of figure that out. That usually takes, you know, four snaps for anybody. So it's not that big of a deal. Like most snaps, most centers are pretty similar.
49er center Alex Mack here on 95.7 The Game. So you played for Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, and now you're playing for Kyle Shanahan, the head coach. Much of a difference? Noticeable difference? No difference at all? What is it?
No difference at all, I'd say. I think he's Kyle is the same guy he's always been. He's now just, instead of it being an offensive meeting, it's a team meeting. He's the same guy. He speaks it pretty real. He's very, you know, down to earth. I really enjoy him. I'm stoked to be here. I'm excited to be in this offense. I think he's a great head coach, and I'm fired up.
So how much does an offensive coordinator as opposed to a head coach deal with what's going on in the blocking scheme, which seems so part and parcel to the offense, the running offense especially, that Kyle Shanahan runs? Is he hands-on with the offensive linemen as much as he's hands-on with, you know, QBs, running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers?
I think something that makes him a great, you know, head coach and, you know, when he was offensive coordinator, it was just how solid of understanding he had of the schemes. So he really understood everyone's responsibility and was capable of coaching every position. And so when you have that, you can really hold all the players accountable, the coaches accountable. Everything should mesh very well together. And I think that's the same thing that's going on now.
As the center, you're required to pretty much know what the full blocking scheme is for everybody. So at this early stage, on a scale of 1 to 100, how much do you know about everything you feel you should know about everybody else on your line?
1 to 100. Wow.
That way we could do percentages. It's easier that way.
We could really get in there. I think you can always learn more, so I'll never say 100, although you'd want everybody to know everything backwards and forwards. But I think the offense is evolving, and you do add plays for schemes to try to take advantage of the defense. So I'll give myself a 90, you know, and sometimes there's an amount of trust. You know what your job is, and you know other people have responsibility from what's your job, but you're not trying to micromanage everybody.
See, we had you coming in at 86.4%, so I'm glad you're rounding up to 90.
Close.
Very close.
Round it up.
We'll allow it in this first interview. I'm not to bring up things that haven't even happened yet, but part of coming to the Niners is playing the Rams twice a year, and we just watched Aaron Donald on a Sunday night. As the center, obviously that's a guy you're going to be staring at an awful lot. And I'm just wondering, is that something you thought about, and have you played him in the past, and sort of what is that like?
It's not fun. He's a very good player, and he's one of the best in the business ever to do it, without a doubt. It was when choosing to, you know, come to the 49ers, having to play, you know, that player and those teams, it's not attractive. You know, you want cupcakes everywhere, but that's not the case. I know the you know, our division is very competitive, and it's going to be very tough. But I think if we can, you know, weather that storm and get through our division, we'll be a very good team that can do whatever we want in the postseason.
Alex Mack here on Damon Ratto and Cole Ski, and obviously Javon Kinlaw is a missing piece so far in game one. He wasn't there. Hopefully he can return soon. It's a guy who has spent the entire preseason and training camp basically practicing against him. Can you tell us a little bit about what your impressions of Kinlaw are coming into his second year, and if you think he's got the potential to be mentioned, you know, along with some of the best D tackles in football?
I mean, he's got a lot of potential. He's a big, explosive player, and he's definitely has a raw talent right now. I mean, he is in there just smashing into things, and in a good way. He's explosive and can definitely be disruptive. I think this is the proper defense where he can really thrive. I think it'll come down to if he can stay healthy and get out there, and hopefully he can really get a lot of game experience and become a great player.
And, you know, I know that you're not directly taking on Nick Bosa very often, but we keep on hearing that he has just got, you know, stripes on him that most cats do not have. Do you see that out of the corner of your eye? Are you already looking at Bosa as someone who is just a game-changing defensive player?
It looks to be that way. I mean, I'm happy that he plays on the edge. I don't have to touch him too often. He's a physical specimen, and he definitely plays hard. So he's talented. He's gonna be somebody other opposing offenses have to, you know, take note of.
Different players can present different challenges, but when was the last time you were truly surprised by a defensive line scheme, or where you went, wait a minute, what are they trying to do here? Because I've never seen this before.
It's been a while. I've seen a lot of football now.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, hopefully, early in the year is usually when that happens, because people change and adjust, and you haven't planned for stuff that they haven't shown on tape much, and then they show up, and you've got a problem solve on the fly, which is not fun. But later in the year, it's a copycat league. Everyone's watching everybody's film, and you generally see things kind of occurring, and you talk about it. And in the week of prep, you hopefully cover stuff. I think preseason's another great time. You see people doing some unsound defensive stuff, which gets you in trouble, because, you know, if they're blitzing off of one side, they kind of have to cover the other area, and you can depend on that when the guys are doing the right thing. But if the guy's doing the wrong thing, you get surprised.
In following a lot of sort of online media discourse about football defense recently, I've read a lot about defenses that do more actively to try to dictate offenses in the last couple seasons in particular. Brandon Staley's a guy that gets brought up a lot. But the question I'm asking essentially is, you've been in the league for a decade.
Yeah.
How much has the style of defense changed over the course of that time?
I remember, like, when I was a younger player, the league just installed where they have, like, the two linebackers kind of mug the A-gaps, and there were blitzes and stuff, and that was kind of a new defensive thing. And now every team does it. Like, every team kind of has that package, and they mug it, and people have kind of figured out what works, what doesn't work, and kind of how to defend it. And it still works, so you still see it. But it's one of those things that has become less common as time goes on. That was like a major package and you'd have to really prep for. Now it's just, this team does it too, yeah.
How odd is it to not even know when another quarterback is going to come into a game and be under center? Obviously, the Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance experience is, I'm guessing, a little unlike any other that you've played with professionally.
It's evolving. I mean, we've had wildcat packages, but I think this is going to become something more than that. So I think it's great that we can really keep defenses on their toes and not know. I know when there's a different voice that shows up calling the play, that, you know, that's a good tip off that, you know, something's changed.
To cry and shame that Raheem Mostert doesn't even last three carries into the year. He's a good guy. He's a hell of a running back. But now it looks like that workload is going to fall on young Mr. Elijah Mitchell until we see Trey Sermon get up to speed, and whatever this team might find on the waiver wire as it looks around for running back solutions, how different do you have to block for players who aren't the speed of light like Mostert is? And I'll tell you this, it looks like Elijah Mitchell is about as fast as Raheem might be.
Yeah, Mitch did an incredible job stepping up and delivering and, you know, coming to the big stage and really, you know, taking on the challenge and thriving. So great job as a rookie. I know we have a lot of running back talent back there, and they all get rotated through, and our coaching staff really keeps them accountable and, you know, coaches them very well. So pretty dependable on anybody who's back there can thrive in the system. In terms of like what we do in blocking, but then just to say, like, Raheem is such an awesome dude. It's been great to join this team and get to know him, and, you know, heart goes out to him. Hope he gets healthy and gets back here quick.
You talked earlier about there being almost no difference between the Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta and the Kyle Shanahan here. Are there any schematic differences? Are there things that he likes to do now, as basically just tactically, that are different than what he did in Atlanta? Or is he exactly the same guy?
I think the offense has evolved. I think him as a person is exactly the same guy. Like, he's the same coach. I think the offense is constantly evolving, and it's constantly adding new wrinkles. And I think that's good. That's what you want to see. You want to see, what can you learn? What can you get better? What can evolve? And I think this offense is doing it.
Alex, is there a Kyle Shanahan doghouse, and have you ever been in it?
I mean, fumbling the first snap of the regular season is a good way to approach that doghouse, I think. I don't think I've been in it, but, you know, I definitely think that he holds people accountable, and I think that's something that where he's a kind of coach for me that you just always want to put your best on the field for him.
I'm guessing you actually probably played against D'Amico Ryans at some point in your career. What have you seen from him as a first-time defensive coordinator, and did you see that for him when you saw him as a player?
I can't remember if and when I played him, but I'm sure it happened. I played a lot of games. I have the talent of kind of playing the game and, you know, trying to forget about it immediately because it's on to the next. But as a coach, he's done a really good job of getting guys motivated, holding them accountable. You can see the defense working hard all the time, and they made, you know, OTAs and training camp very difficult on us. So hopefully they continue to do that.
For a guy who has been around the league 100 times, who's got the best visiting locker room?
Best visiting locker room. Trying to remember that. Hard to remember. I'm kind of focused on the game. I don't really remember. Somebody who has a hot tub. Some people have nothing in there. It's nice to be able to warm up in a hot tub. Yeah, I think the old Raider Stadium and the old Charger Stadium took the cake for the worst.
That feels about right. That feels about on brand. There's no doubt about it. I'm guessing the amenities, like you've already said, at the Greenbrier, very, very nice. What is it like to be in the middle of a season and have almost a mini second training camp? Is that what this sort of feels like?
It's a little interesting. I think it's cool in terms of the season just started. It's all business, and we can all be here with no distractions, really. And it's a cool opportunity to have some team bonding earlier in the year, kind of all go through this and be together. And I like it. I mean, I also like my home and my bed, but it for the team, it's totally worth it.
As a Pac-12 guy, how bad do you want the next coach at USC to be?
How bad? Terrible. It could just disband the program. That's fine with me.
But that seems more strident than I thought you'd be, but you'd be willing to go Pac-11 then.
Pac-11? I mean, I went to the Pac-10, so we'd be getting closer to what I'm comfortable with.
Who do you hate more, USC or Stanford?
As a Cal guy, you have to say Stanford.
But as Alex Mack, what do you think?
I mean, I never got to beat USC at my time at Cal, and that's something that goads me a bit to this day. Stanford did pretty good against, so I can say there's a pretty big hate for USC.
So if I'm Justin Wilcox, I am calling you and asking one of the greatest offensive linemen in my college's history to come on back and talk to the kids. You going to spend any time in Berkeley doing a little coaching?
I need to come up there and talk to the guys and visit the team. Currently, I'm in West Virginia, so it's hard.
Yeah, not right now.
When there's time, I definitely want to be able to go back there and talk to the team and see them. It's been a couple of years, and that's on me. I need to make a better effort at that.
Well, I tell you, we would probably be yelled at if we didn't ask you about Trent Williams, because this guy just is a human shadow that just casts over people. He's just as large as it gets. Do you really only have to worry about four other spots on the line, because there's just nothing to worry about with Trent? He's got the job.
Trent's a very talented guy. For as you know, talented as he is, he still works really hard, and it shows. I mean, he's in meetings really trying to perfect his craft, and that's something that it's good to see, you know, the older vets do. And he's a monster on the field, which is also great to see.
We have seen some of the amenities of the Greenbrier and the different things. I don't know if you're a golfer at all, if you're going to go on a horseback ride. I'd feel sorry for the horse that had an offensive lineman choose him for an afternoon. I see that they got falconry lessons. Will you be falconing at any point in time? And do you feel, as a former Atlanta Falcon, they shouldn't even charge the room?
It'd be fun to do that. I've never learned how to do that, or if that's something you can do, or do you bring your own falcon? I don't know.
So BYOF?
For that option. Yeah, bring your own falcon. Haven't explored that option. I did see they had a sporting clay course for like skeet shooting, and so on our off day, we went over there and did that, which was really fun.
Why do you think offensive linemen are consistently the best interviews in the NFL?
Because no one – finally someone's talking to us, and we just can't wait to throw knowledge at you guys. Rarely talk to and just usually ignored.
I mean, were you so excited, like, before you called in, you're doing, like, a couple laps in the pool at the Greenbrier, just excited to talk to the media, finally?
Finally, yeah. Well, you also you dangled the Harris Ranch steak, and I jumped at that opportunity.
Well, let me tell you how this works, big fella. Our friends at Harris Ranch Beef are going. Well, I guess it's not a surprise. You knew about
not
it.
Not a surprise.
They're going to give you a dozen USDA Prime New York strips, a total of 10.5 pounds of meat. Has anyone in radio or media history ever given you 10.5 pounds of meat before today?
Never. And I couldn't. If you need to do it again, I can come back and you can give me 10.5 pounds again. I'll eat it.
We'll do it. Alex, thank you so very much. Continued success to you and your teammates. Have a good week of prep getting ready for the Eagles, man. Really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.